Bro Sachin from Fiji, supposed to come down to help with the ordination, and then COVID hits, close everything. So they're still serving there in the church. Not ordained, but they are already, you know, they study the Bible, they graduate from Bible Institute, so they get their diplomas, and also they are ready to take over the church. So we are planning that once the country is open, then we will plan to go and ordain them and hand over the church. But, you know, probably some of you catching the video that God lead us somewhere else. And God has been working in our hearts since we discussed a lot of things about the Samoan people. And as you see in our video, Samoan in the population is 198,000 people living in Samoa. There are 230,000 Samoa living here in the United States. So that's more than the population of the whole country. And New Zealand is 181,000 people living in New Zealand, Samoan living in New Zealand. In the city of Auckland, it's about 118,000 Samoan living in the city of Auckland. So we're kind of looking outside of Samoa for ministry because there are several reasons. In Samoan country, they say it's a freedom of religion. You can do whatever, practice like what we do here in the States, but it's not. You know, you have to have a connection to a village, and also that you have to approve by the village to get into a church, to start a church or witness to people there in the village. So every village have a council of chiefs. They decide who's getting in and who's, you know. And a simple illustration is, example is, there's another missionary working in the Pika Island. He was raising $50,000 to try to get his way in the village. And he take that money and all the things that he planned to take to the chiefs, and they reject him. So there's no way you can get into a village with my support. And I cannot raise $50,000 to go into a village. The truth of the matter is that's not a way to start churches. You have to go witness, win souls to Christ, and start a church. Not to go to a, you know. And I think that, you know, it's not a missionary's fault. He's trying to get his way in. But the village, they are not, you know, cooperate. So, and that's why a lot of Mormons are getting to a lot of villages there, because Mormons, they got this. They pay their way in. They supply everything for schools and offer things to the villages, and they will tell them, you know, come and start, you know. Then they build buildings. As I think I shared that with you before. Mormons' mission is to go to a country and build churches. So once they get into a village, they build big churches. In Samoa, they don't have air-conditioned building. You get a building that, you know, like, you know, even at that closed building, they don't have air conditioning. They got all these louver windows to get the air flow through. Mormon, they go there and build a lot of big buildings with air conditioning. And people loves it. Old people there, they don't want to spend their money. They rather just go to a church they already built. So they don't have any relationship with Jesus Christ, you know. But it's their life is religious, you know, religion. They want to be a religion. And so the other thing is the kids, you know. I know that you know a lot of Samoans play football here in the United States, in the NFL. So one of their things, they really love sports. Mormons go there and build basketball courts, volleyball court, and all the things that attract teenagers in churches, and that's how they get the heart of the people. It's not through the gospel. It's by all these activities that they bring into the country. And for us to know that and understand that, we see New Zealand as an open field. Not only Samoans, they don't have, you know, Council of Chiefs in any part of New Zealand. We are open to witness to anybody. We are open to go to people and talk to people about their lives, and that's what we are. I told the Lord when we first go to Samoa, you know, some people ask me how long you're going to stay there, and said as long as God let me stay there. But I believe that it's a time to see that, you know, even that there are some people that got saved and God's using them there. I think it's about time to reach not only the Samoan, but also the different people living in the city of Auckland. And that's what we're planning, and that's why we go around and let you guys know that, because we don't want to just change the field without letting our supporting churches know what we're doing. We still, at the moment, we still go to Samoa and finish what we started, hand over the church, and that's where God is leading us to a new field. We already got some people there in New Zealand, a group of people there we can work together with. And so God, I want you to pray with us, you know, on that matter. And I don't know if you have any question about our mission field. I will be happy to answer any questions if you have one. But that's the explanation of what we are planning to do, and I hope you understand that. The other thing, I would just like to thank you for your financial support and your prayer support that be able to keep us on the field. Even that we are here for about a year now because of the COVID, they shut down the country. But also I had a lot of things, other things going on in my health when we were here. Last August, I had an operation in my shoulder. I fell on the field when I was renovating our house to wait for the ordination, waiting for my pastors to come, and I fell and I broke my shoulder, tear all the tendons on my shoulder, and took off 4 of my teeth. So what you see now is not real. It's fake. But I'm glad that there's some people that they make things, you know, look real. But I'm glad I got something that I can bite my foot with. And I thank you for your prayers. And thank you for... So the last August, I had an operation on my shoulder and an operation on my teeth. And about June this year, we started getting on the road. You know, after all my physiotherapy, I think we get on the road and we start reporting to churches and let the churches know what we're doing. And the other thing is I was applied for citizenship because I got a green card. I don't have citizenship here in the States, but I was applying for citizenship. And we went to a lawyer when we first came, and he said, you cannot apply until next year, 2022, on October next year. So I told my wife, I said, let's pray and go find another one. So we prayed. We went to another lawyer, and she looked at all the papers and said, no. A lot of lawyers don't understand this law. You had to be, if you're serving as a missionary out of a church here in the States, it counts your 1 year outside of the United States that you were present. And so you had to be here by June. You came on a June last year, 20. You had to be in here June 20 this year to apply. So before June 20, she lodged my application. And we got a letter from the immigration. It said that we got your letter processed, and it takes about 13 months to process. So I told my wife, I said, let's pray. No, I don't want to wait for that 13 months. Let's pray that, you know, before the end of August, I got a letter from... So we were in Arizona, and my mom texts my wife and said, you got a letter from immigration. She started panicking, and she thought my applications declined. And I told her, I said, tell her mom to open a letter, read us the letter. She said, you have to go to Lubbock to get your fingerprints. So the letter started processing. And then after that, they said, well, you have to wait for, you know. And I told my wife, I said, before my birthday, on the 30th of September, I want another letter. Let's pray about that. So before we get on my birthday, I got another letter. They had to go to Oklahoma for an interview. So last week, I was in Oklahoma doing interview in 26, and they approved my citizenship, so they were going to, you know, appoint a little, schedule a day for me to go and take an oath. So now I told my son, I said, your citizenship is fake. Mine is real because I was fighting for it. I said, you were born for citizenship. I was fighting for my citizenship. So I'm glad I put those things in the letter, and I know that you guys pray for those things, and I thank you for that. Thank you for praying hard for those things, because without that, we are, you know, that's another load off the way, and I thank you for that. So if you've got any question, I will be, yes, ma'am. It's a totally complete different. As you see, the video is 55,000 people living there. So that American Samoa is 55,000, you know, people. Samoa itself is 198,000.
So Samoa is a bigger island than
America? So American Samoa is a territory of the United States. The Western Samoa, where we're working, is the independent state. After the Second World War, they divided the country into two. American take the eastern side, and the British took the outside. So we became independent in 1962. So it's an independent state. Even that it's 30 minutes away from each other, when you go to another country, it's like a totally different country. They speak the same language, and you know, most of the people in American Samoa speak English, but the culture and all things the same. But it's like Americanized country, so. Yes, ma'am.
You were saying there's a lot of NFL players are from Samoa. Do they support their families or tribes?
They support their families. I mean, most of those guys, they come here and play football. And some of them, they live here in the States. Their families are here in California, Washington State, and, you know, wherever they play, they. But, you know, some of them, they support their family in Samoa. Yes, yes, sir.
And in the video, you talked about being very religious. Is it mainly Catholicism? Or
a variety of religions? It's a variety of other religions. Catholicism is one of the main religions in the country. Catholicism, the Methodist, and the Congregation Church are the dominant religion. And they always believe the same thing, salvation by works. And so those are the dominant, and most of the chiefs of every village go to those churches. So imagine if you try to go there, because when we first went to Samoa, they thought we are cult. They never heard Baptist before. So they thought we are cult. I grew up in a Methodist church. My dad was a Methodist preacher. But you know, when we got saved, I got saved in New Zealand. You know, I went to Bible college in Australia, so I was ordained here in the United States. So I'm, you know, I understand what Baptist is, and, you know, I don't really understand what Bible says. But when you go to those people, they think that, you know, you're cult. And preaching the truth, they think it's a cult. Because it's against what their religion believes is salvation by works. Does anyone else have a question? What's the time now? Sorry, yeah. What's the time? Is that the right time? Okay. I guess we're going to, you know, because we don't have any questions, so are we good? I want you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Romans chapter. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. It's a familiar verse, and I'm try to explain this in our video. The religion is not a relationship. Relationship is not religion. You know, this is a lot of, I think there's a lot of people that they think is, even Baptist Church. You know, I know, what's his name? Somebody was saying on Wednesday night, they said Rick Warner would say something about, you know, people say about his ministry down in Texas, this 1,000 membership, and he was talking about how great his church is. And Warner say something about this. He said, well, it's good that you have 1,000 people, members, but probably 80% of those people are lost. So that's a really bad thing when you hear from a mouth of a preacher say that probably 80% of those people are lost. When you know your congregation and you know people that are attending churches and they claim that they are religion, but they don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what the Apostle Paul said here in verse, let me look at the Romans chapter 1, verse 16. The Apostle Paul, Apostle Paul said in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So it is a great challenge for us to know that the Bible says there's three things in this verse that tells us that, you know, that I wrote down, the Apostle Paul personal conviction about this verse. He said, for I am not ashamed. You know, somebody that grew up in a religion, it's a Jewish religion, and in the book of Galatians chapter 1, he's talking about himself, who he was. He said, I'm on top of all my generation. You know, the people that we grew up, I'm the best in the Jewish religion. But he said, when I found Christ, all these things is, you know, it's different. You know, we know that the Apostle Paul chapter 9, when he on his way to Damascus, he met Jesus Christ. And I believe that a lot of people thinking that going to church is the way to heaven. And some of this religion, the Catholic and Methodist, and, you know, because I'm going to church, I'm a good person, I'm going to heaven. It's not our good works. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are ye saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, going to church is a work. You know, in a Jewish religion, you know, when God told them there's a distance you can go on a Sabbath day. You know, if you go over that distance, you break a Sabbath. You know, a lot of people, Seventh-day Adventists, have to keep the Sabbath, not the way the Jews keep the Sabbath, because they can drive miles and miles to go to church. That's breaking a Sabbath. They think but that's work. Because they think it's keeping the law is the way to heaven. But, you know, not only the Apostle Paul said, by his conviction, said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Also, he said, in that same verse, he said, the gospel is the power of God. You know, the gospel is, if you look at the gospel, it's in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to verse 4, explain what the gospel is. He said in verse 1, moreover, brethren, this is Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians and said, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preach unto you, which also he have received, and wherein he stand. The Apostle Paul said, this is the gospel I preach unto you, that where you believe, and this is where you stand. What is the gospel? He said, by which also he saved, if he keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless he had believed in vain. Unless you believe not what I preach to you, but this is the gospel I preach unto you. He said in verse 3, he said, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also receive. Paul said, it's the same way that I was saved. I deliver unto you the same thing that I receive. What are those things? He said in verse that the last portion of that verse, how Christ died for our sins. First is the death of Christ. The second, according to the scriptures, and verse 4, I said, and that he was buried. The second thing of the gospel. And that he rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. Those are the three things in the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, so a lot of people think that, you know, going to church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Reading your Bible is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be a good person is the gospel. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When we put our faith in what he did, the complete sacrifice that he did on the cross, then that we have eternal life. Understand that? A lot of someone think that, you know, because of their singing, you know, my wife can tell that when you start a singing tambour, everybody else starts singing, you know, in four parts. They sing in four parts. And that's blend together. I took my pastor, my former pastor, to Samoa, and that time the head of state died. So there's a big funeral. There's probably a thousand and thousand of people, and they sing gospel song, you know, at his funeral. And he was amazed that everybody sing in parts. And he cannot, you know, believe that this multitude of people that sing in those four parts, and it's blend together. It's like, and that's what people think. You know, I was in Sydney, Australia, one time, and there's in the front of the newspaper said if the angels, if Satan fly on Samoa today, he will not land. This is what in the paper in Sydney, Australia. And this is what people said, you know. They said, because the sound of the gospel song was they're praising God. And I believe that's wrong. You know, it doesn't matter you praising God for gospel song. You know, Satan is in the middle of them, you know, try to defeat. And that's what I read in the Sydney paper. But you know what? People believe that. You know, because I'm doing this for church. Therefore, this is the gospel. That's not a gospel. The Apostle Paul explained this. The gospel is the complete sacrifice that God offered for our sins, his death, the burial, and the resurrection. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. You know, I was reading, I think it's where we came, yesterday morning I was reading something I shared with my wife. I said, you know, David was overcome by his son Absalom. And Absalom didn't even care about his father. He just took over the kingdom and chased him away. And then when Joab and the men killed Absalom, they bring the news to David, and David heard that Absalom died. And David cried. I said, oh, Absalom, my son. I wish I can die. This is a paraphrasing. I wish I didn't die for you. And I think that, I thought that's how God feel about his creation and feel about the world. You know, God cries because of our sin. He said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I will not take my son, you know, for a ransom, for anything. I got only one son, and I'm not going to give it away. But God so loved the sinners, all of us. He gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish. Believe in what? Believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. What He did, the complete sacrifice that God offers to us so we can be saved from our sins and have heaven for our home. You know, he that believeth on Him shall not be condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. What are the consequences of that? Not obeying the Lord, or not sharing the gospel? You know, 1 Peter 3, verse 16, Peter said, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time is come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it begins at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Peter said, this is a disciple of Jesus Christ, and he knows what. He said, we are given a job to reach the world for Jesus Christ. And one day, the judgment begins here. You know, we can say, hey, this is Joe Biden's fault. This is whoever's fault. We can say, this is Nancy Pelosi's fault. It's whoever's fault. You know what? When judgment of God comes, it started here. It started in His people. Did you do what God tells you to do? God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. It's not somebody else's fault. He said, if it begins in here, what do you think happened to those people that don't believe? It's worse, but it begins in here, in the church of God. He says, if judgment begins in the house of God, and it begins in us, talk about us believers, we're putting our faith in Christ, but we are not spreading the gospel, we're not reaching out to people, then it begins with us. Why? Because the gospel is the only power of God unto salvation. To reaching out, you have to tell people about what God has done for you. I was kind of looking at this morning. I tried to start another message this morning when I had my Bible reading. I thought about, what is your story? What is our story? And I know that I have a lot of stories to tell. But I have a great story to tell is when God came to my heart. And I will never forget that. Because He saved me. And when God saved me, God said, freely He have received, freely give. When you receive it for free, salvation is free. Eternal life is free for us. We don't have to hold it back. We have to let somebody else know. Freely He have received, freely keep. I'm going to end with this because I know we have time to go for the next service, but we were in a plane yesterday. And I was so tired. I woke up really early in the morning. We had to catch two flights, go fly from Amarillo to Denver and Denver to Spokane. We are late over about 4 hours. And when I get on this flight from here to Spokane, I was really tired. Get up there, there was a young guy sitting on my other side. My wife's on the other side. And I feel like I want to talk to this guy, but I was so tired. So I thought, I'm going to go sleep first. Clear up my mind, I go sleep. I slept until, you know, probably 20 minutes, 30 minutes before we get to her. So I woke up and that's to myself and I stopped and talked to this guy. So I started asking him some questions and I said, where are you from? From Wyoming. I said, are you living in Spokane? He said, no, I'm visiting my girlfriend. I said, oh, do you go to church anywhere? I said, no, I raised up in Catholic Church. And I said, well, does your girlfriend go to church in Spokane? I said, I don't know. And so I started the conversation. I said, can I ask you a question? And he said, sure. I said, do you know for sure where you're going when you die? I said, I know there's a place. There's a place that the Bible teaches about, you know, going to, but I don't know. So I start going through the Romans Road with him, and I said, you know what, I'm preaching at the church, Spokane, tomorrow. And, you know, I wish you can bring your girlfriend with you. So I don't expect things happen, you know, I was praying that that guy would show up today. But you know what, it doesn't make me feel guilty of not talking to somebody. At least that I didn't, you know, zip my mouth the whole thing. I had to share the gospel with somebody. And God wants us to do that. You know, a conviction. You know, Paul's conviction by the gospel. And he said, for I am not ashamed. And he said, because the gospel is a power. It's only power of God to salvation. It doesn't matter what people. You know, God said to Ezekiel, don't look at their face. Don't look at their forehead. They're hard-hearted people. You know, but this is going to break them. There's a God in heaven that sent his son to die for them. And the third thing in that verse is, it says, propagating the gospel. Not only his conviction about the gospel, his pulse, the power of the gospel. And also he said, propagating the gospel, he said, to the Jews first. And also to the Greek. We have a job to do. Bible says in the book of Acts that to reach out Judea or Jerusalem to othermost part of the world. We started here where you are. We start here reaching out to those who need it. God bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I just pray that you will help us with the next service. I pray that this thing will be a benefit to our walk with you. In Christ's name. Amen.